Just passing through this town to pick up our mail on October the 9th and 10th, 1970, the night of Saturday, and checking out the little tape recorder that you sent us, and the one that you helped me to learn how to use, and I hope we're using it rightly, because this is the first time we really had a chance to give it a workout. Praise the Lord. I hope it's coming through a little clearer now and a little bit better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. First of all, I want to thank all you folks there in California who helped to supply this little portable tape recorder for this purpose. In order that we might be able to talk to you, even in our absence, for the Lord's glory. I'm reducing the volume a little bit here to try to save batteries, and because I have an idea this tape is going to take a little while. So if there's a change in volume, it's as we're testing here to get the right volume level for the recording. God bless you. You'll probably be able to adjust the volume anyhow and bring it up on your PA system, and if you should choose to play it for everyone, and I'm going to try to make it as much for everybody as possible, at least for the leadership. I'll let you use your own judgment as to what it would be most acceptable for. Well, I'm going to have to speak rather softly, so I hope you'll be able to use your volume on this, because we are in a hotel room, and it's late at night, and I don't want to disturb our neighbors. Please forgive us for being so long in getting this tape to you. But we have been so busy, you have no idea how busy we have been, sometimes traveling continuously day and all night for 2 and 3 days and nights in a row. And in order to cover as much territory as possible, to survey as many situations as we can, in the short time that we have to do it in. Well, praise the Lord, where shall I begin? God bless you all, we love you all, we miss you terribly. This has been one of the most difficult things I believe that I have had to do in my whole life, as to leave the family group back there, meaning all of you, and go almost alone to a far country in another world almost, and to be away from you folks and away from the sweet fellowship, to be out here in the midst of wickedness in the pit. But there are many precious gems here, many precious souls which the Lord wants us to rescue. And as you will hear, we've already had some very interesting experiences along this line. And the Lord has really led us and has worked wonderfully, even miracles, in causing us to be able to accomplish the task. So we're very thankful that He has brought us here to see the need and to see the tremendous opportunity which can be met if we're willing. So praise the Lord. Thank you all for the part that you had in making it possible. May God bless you for the sacrifices which you have made. And may the Lord be with us as we continue, that we might finish the task. We have become almost sometimes so homesick, we have been tempted to come home before the task was done. But we're doing a great work, and we cannot come down. And that scripture has come to us often when we were sometimes discouraged and sometimes felt that we were not accomplishing as much as we had liked. And sometimes the hardships of the road were very rigorous and very strenuous and tiresome. Sometimes we felt that we could hardly drag another foot. As you know, we haven't been accustomed to traveling like this for some years now. We've had the comfort and the convenience of the cruiser and our same little cubbyhole, though small. It was home and convenient, and we were not having to lug around luggage and run from train to station, station to train, and so on. But the Lord has been with us and given us the strength. Sometimes it's been amusing, if you could have seen it, trying to run with all our might to catch a train, lugging our luggage with us, even though we've cut it down to the absolute minimum. We still have problems in making it. But the Lord has strengthened us. And I would say that if anything, I'm in better health now, even than when we started the trip. Because the Lord has given us lots of good exercise. We know we're in His will. We know that He's with us. And we know that He's blessing. And we know that He has ordained this ministry, and that He is going to accomplish His purpose through us before we are finished. And we know that Your prayers are with us. We know that You're with us in heart. And we know that God is in it, and that it will be done. Thanks to Him. Praise the Lord. It has been very difficult to find a time and a place where we can get alone and quiet and in the Spirit in order to be sure that we pass on to You our story as the Lord would have it. And since we've been so busy traveling all day and sometimes all night in the midst of confusion and many people and in the cities, in the busy places, in the marketplace, it's very difficult to get alone with the Lord and with You, that we might talk to You confidentially, and that we might be able to pass on to You what the Lord has revealed to us in our sojourn in these strange lands. But we're going to try anyhow, and let's hope we don't disturb our neighbors. God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. It's been nearly 2 months, think of that, since we left home. On the night of August 13th, Thursday, that we drove into Dallas with you, Maria, and Martha to meet Faith at the airport. And as you recall, spending the night at our dear sister Ingersoll's there, God bless her for her hospitality. In case you're listening, we appreciate all you have done for His children. And I know God is going to bless you for it, Sister Ingersoll. We had some very important conferences there regarding our plans. After getting the information as much as we could there in Dallas and discovering that it was virtually impossible to make the proper arrangements there, since all of the planes and the information offices, the officials that we needed to contact, were all in New York. We prayed earnestly and asked the Lord to lead us, and we all felt that we should make that journey to New York and make it immediately, as there was no time to waste. We had left as quickly as possible after Fred's departure from the ranch, as soon as our business with him was complete, and he had returned to Los Angeles. We felt it was time to be about our father's business and the vision that he had given us for the journey that he had ordained in order that we might accomplish our mission. So the week had not ended before we were gone, the week that he left. And as you recall, we decided there, after much prayer, in fact, it was an all night of prayer in Dallas, that we decided, after much prayer and consultation, without having even gone to bed or to sleep that night, on Friday night, 3, 4, 5 of us to get together and drive right straight through to Kentucky for you folks to go along and inspect the property there, which dear friends had offered for our use, and then for us to drive on from there, some of us, those that were going, to New York to complete our arrangements. I'm going back a little bit to fill you in on some of the details that perhaps you may not know about, so we're going to try to describe the entire trip and the preparations and the arrangements which preceded it, so you understand exactly what happened. We drove straight through, and I drove all the way, all that day, and all, or a good deal, some of the following night. Saturday night, we slept in the filling station, and I'll never forget waking up in the morning, seeing you and Faithy draped over the hood of the car, having apparently gotten too cramped inside because we were unable to find a room that we could really afford. We went out then on Sunday to inspect the acreage and had a difficult time finding it. Finally thought we had found it and looked it over, and so that we could give our report, and then drove on to Frankfort, Kentucky to visit your brother. And there some of the relatives had gathered to visit with us, but having been told apparently by some that Uncle David was now a hippie. In fact, we talked to some of the relatives on the night before and found that they seemed to consider that we were all hippies for sure. So I didn't mind leaving it with that impression at all. And I was very thankful not to be classed with the rest of the system. Well, anyhow, we got into quite a controversy over the system and so on. It's wonderful the strength that the Lord has given us to endure some of these difficult hardships, particularly at my age when I had not, as you recall, been feeling too well on occasions back at the ranch, and yet the Lord has given me supernatural, unusual strength to endure very long drives and flights and train trips up all night, night after night, and then sometimes all the next day. And yet the Lord has continued to keep me in good health. I have had very little sickness at all. Only one day since I left home that I was really sick at all, and that was after we had arrived in London, and I think I must have just been worn out from the whole journey and the weeks on the way, and I had a little touch of the runs, and was so exhausted, decided to stay in bed and rest for the day. I wasn't really that sick, but just took the day off, and that's the only day we've really taken off like that, and the only day that we really have had to take time out due to any weakness of the flesh. So we have had to catch up a little occasionally now and then and sleep here or there, but we have not had any real sickness at all. In fact, we've only gotten car sick or train sick or seasick about one time, and that was the time we wrote you about in that last little letter on the way from London to Harwich to catch the ferry. When we rode on the end of that Toonerville trolley, it bounced up and down and all around and gave us a good shaking up, and I don't think it would have made us sick then if we hadn't been trying to write those letters. But we knew it was our last chance to get them in the mail before leaving England, and the stamps would not be good anywhere else. So, praise the Lord. Anyhow, after these good visits, I was speaking of Carl and his hospitality and how I thanked him, and surely the verse of Scripture is true, cast thy bread upon the waters, and in due season they shall return unto you, because having done a good deed to someone, sooner or later God will see that it is returned and you're rewarded for it. If not through them, through perhaps someone else. In this case, it came through Carl himself. I had even forgotten what we had done for him in the past. But when I thanked him so profusely for his kindness and the fact that he'd taken in these poor travel weary, worn hippies from Texas and shown such kindness and hospitality without any complaint and with a wonderfully sweet spirit, as I was thanking him for all his goodness to us, he looked at me and he said, well, he said, I've never forgotten how when I needed help you took me in. And it then came back to me how that when he had been out of work, he and his family with six children, we had taken him into our home and kept him for a couple of months while he was looking for a job in California. So the Lord does return and reward and compensate for any sacrifices you make for others in trying to help them. Look what God has done for us. Look what the Lord has done. We started taking in a few people into our home to try to help them. And then a few young people. And then in the cruiser we took in you, our first real member of the youth group. And it increased from there, as you recall. A few more in California. A few more in Arizona. And then more in Texas, and more, and more, and more, and more. And now look around how many of us there are. Look at our big family. Going on 400 now. Isn't that something? So, you see, if we are willing to obey and willing to do His will and to carry on His work, He never fails. He has never failed, as Martin Luther said, when somebody complained that he was taking too many people into his home, and he had about 25 people living with him then, he said, never fear, with every additional mouth, God will supply. And so it's been, amen? He has not only supplied, but he has abundantly supplied. And he has lavished on us many blessings, and great grace has been upon us all. And with boldness, the disciples have given witness because we have obeyed his commandments and obeyed his example in living simply and humbly and sharing what we had with others. And so the Lord has blessed and increased it. As our bread was broken, it has increased until it has literally fed the multitudes. And God has been with us and kept us and protected us and supplied every need and has increased our accommodations as we had need of shelter for more of his children and has spread us abroad throughout the land as he once commanded us in a prophecy before all of this began through grandmother in California just before we really learned what God was about to do. The Lord said to enlarge our tents and to lengthen our cords and to strengthen the stakes, for he was going to increase us and to cause us to be spread abroad throughout the land. Surely he has fulfilled that prophecy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, God bless you all. So, it has been, starting out with being kind to a few. The Lord has been kind to us in return and caused many others to be kind to us and to care for us and our needs as we have endeavored to bring happiness to others. And to you, and to some of you young ones and babes, I want you to remember that you can never outgive God. Look how good he has been to us all. We have tried to give and to share and to sacrifice. But as the great David Livingston, the great pioneer missionary to Africa, said when he was even facing death in the heart of so-called darkest Africa, he said, when asked by newspaper man, hasn't it been a terrible sacrifice for you to leave a baronial mansion in England and the wealth of a fine home and family to come to this dark land among strangers and savages and enduring hardships and privations and malaria and all of these things? Hasn't this been a terrible sacrifice for you? And he said, I have enjoyed life. I have been happy. I have been healthy. I have done a great work for the Lord. He said, and I have never made a sacrifice. What he was saying was that he couldn't possibly sacrifice for the Lord. It was impossible to outgive God. The more you give, the more he gives back in return. Who would have ever dreamed that this soon, the dreams which we have had in the past, would be so marvelously and abundantly fulfilled, both in our household of faith, the children of God spread abroad throughout the land. But now here we are, we can sometimes hardly believe it. We've turned to each other and we've said, are we dreaming or are we really here? Are we here far across the sea in these strange lands of Europe, surveying the need, talking to the young people, seeing the tremendous opportunities? Are we actually here? Is this true? It's all like a dream. And knowing that God is going to do the same here that he has done there. Amen? Hallelujah? Praise God. God bless you. It has been your prayers and your faith and your sacrifice, if you want to call it that, but you're giving to God, but you'll never be able to outgive him, because the Lord has given back abundantly in return. And when even we made our last little sacrifice that we thought was a sacrifice for us, to give up our little home on wheels, only 26 feet long and 8 feet wide. But it was home, our little rolling tent. It was still home, and yet God asked us even to give that up, that we might go out, as Abraham did, from our own land and from our own country and from our own kindred, and into a land, another land, among strangers, and into lands which he promised to him that he would give unto him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, even as unto Abraham, whom I have called out of his own land and from his own kindred into a strange land and among strangers, that I promised that I would give unto him and unto his children. So have I called thee out of thine own country and from thine own kindred, and into strange lands among strange people with strange tongues, that I shall give them unto thee for an inheritance, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Well, I wasn't expecting that, but there it is. Thank you, Lord. And again, God is encouraging us and revealing his will and his future for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Will you praise the Lord? Lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord, all ye his saints. Lift up your hands unto the Lord, all ye his people. Lift up your voices unto the Lord and praise the Lord, all ye lands, for the Lord, he is good. He is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. We haven't made ourselves great. We're nothing, but God has increased us and strengthened us and prospered us and given us many souls. Surely, as the promise even unto Abraham, he shall increase our seed as the sands of the sea, and as the stars of the heaven for multitude, shall he give them unto us. Hallelujah. Praise thy precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. All I feel so in the spirit, I could go on talking in tongues for the rest of this tape. But I must speak with my understanding also in order that the church might be edified. Oh, we've had some amazing revelations from the Lord. We just can't begin to tell you all about it. God has been speaking on this trip, and he has been revealing more things to us, more about the past, more about our origins, more about how God has been working through the centuries preparing us for this day, more about what he is doing now and what he is planning for us. So it has been wonderful, just glorious. I must say it has been the most glorious, perhaps the most marvelous, and the most wonderful experience of my life. And with these revelations that God has been giving us of late, with this marvelous language that he's been giving us, and with how we've been trying it out on different people, and to see if they could understand us, because you remember the Lord promised us that the day would come when there would be those who would understand, and that the Lord would use it not only to edify us now and to thrill us now and to enjoy the luxury of speaking in it in the Spirit and even to each other. And we've even learned to hold conversations with each other in it now. When we get in the Spirit to just talk to each other in the Spirit, it's so much richer and fuller and we could possibly speak in our own, or at least in the English language. To us, this is more of our own language now, and it seems that God has given it to us both. I'll tell you later about how we even had a conversation with a man in London in this language. And I know that God was disputing with him and reasoning with him and debating with him in the park in the spirit and witnessing to him, a Jewish man. And I'll tell you all about that as we get to it. So God is using, and it's thrilling. And then the interpretations that he often gives from the messages that are given. God has really been wonderful to us in all of this. So, God is doing wonders. Considering the miracles he's done, how could we possibly doubt that he is going to do anything? Nothing is impossible with God, and all things are possible to him that believeth. So, God is a God of miracles. So, we thank him for it. And I get so enthused in this that I could be shouting here, but I'm having to ask God to give me control to keep my voice down so we won't disturb our neighbors. I'm hopeful and thankful that they probably can understand the language at least. And, well, even if they could, praise God, it should be a witness to them. Well, to get back to the story, we must tell you about how it all came to be. Then we went on to Virginia, and again, unable to find a motel room, we slept again in a filling station overnight. And the next day we heard about the farm there and went out to see it. And you recall the miracle, how the real estate man, when we were unable to contact the various relatives that had to be consulted about obtaining the use of the farm, offered to put us up in a motel at his own expense, which he did for 2 nights, which tided us over and rested us up, and gave us an opportunity to catch up on several things, to see the farm, and to do some witnessing, and to prepare and consult and pray about what we were to do for the future. That night, for want of any better idea or idea of where we were going to stay, and tired of sleeping in the car, and being unwilling to give the system $20 or more for a motel room of the Lord's good money that his children had shared with us. We wanted to be good stewards and waste nothing. And how could we be sleeping in luxury when the children of God, Israel, was encamped in tents in other places, and in little cabins, and in cramped rooms, and so on. So we surely could not waste his funds on expensive hotel or motel rooms. So we had a sudden inspiration just before Sears closed to run downstairs and buy that little camp tent, which was one of the smartest ideas the Lord ever gave us, because it certainly came in handy later, as you'll hear. That first night, it housed us all, even in the rain. I woke up lying in a puddle of water. I said I hadn't done that since I was a little boy. Well, I hadn't done it, but the rain had. And nevertheless, that was the worst night we ever spent in the tent. I think the Lord was really testing us, and maybe the devil tempting us to see if we would abandon the whole idea just because we had a little inconvenience and discomfort on that cold night of winding up in the water. But I tell you, children, what I some of you wound up in the same condition in the bitter cold of winter down there in Houston. So how could I complain? We just praised the Lord, thanked him for the tent, thanked him for the place to camp overnight, and that had been by a miracle also. We couldn't find the entrance to the park, and we thought it was closed, and so we came in a back way, a place where you were not even supposed to camp, and discovered the next day that they wanted over $3 for a campsite in that expensive place. And we went in the back door and camped in a place you weren't even supposed to camp, and camped for nothing. And the Lord even sent along a policeman that night about midnight to check us out to see if everything was all right. And he was so friendly and hospitable and said, sure, go right ahead. And even gave us two flares. He said, these will come in handy in case you might need help. He asked us if we had any weapons, and we said, no. He said, well, here, take these two flares. He says, you can use them like this if you need to. And he raised it like a club, and he's thinking they can really deliver quite a wallop. So, thank the Lord we didn't have to use them. Although, during the night, the car, too, drove in and drove out, we did manage to get some rest. So, praise the Lord. The next day, we finally let Mother use her faith, and she was determined to call, you remember, Mrs. Pizzuto, Larry's mother, and see what the Lord would do. And as you recall, the Lord did. We hadn't been able to get her before. We had tried all day on Saturday, and that's why we, at the last moment, decided to buy the tent, because the Lord had not opened any other door. And I guess the Lord forced us to that emergency so that we would get the tent, so it would come in very handy later. But when we called Mrs. Pizzuto, she gave us a warm invitation to come over, and her daughter as well, who was there at the time, and came and met us and just treated us royally. They were so good to us, gave us a delicious dinner every night that we were there, put us up in our own bedroom, that beautiful bed, and we were just absolutely welcomed so warmly and so beautifully with such loving care. And we had such a good visit with your mother, Larry. She was so kind to his children, and I know that the Lord will bless her for it. So, we spent that week there making the official arrangements in Washington for passports and so on, and repacking our things so that we would not have too much to carry. The Lord was with us. We got our business done unusually quickly and with great help from the Lord, and then we drove on to New York, or at least to New Jersey. On the night of Thursday, only 2 weeks since we had left, on Thursday night, we stopped on the freeway and slept in the plaza. I tell you, the Lord was allowing the enemy to test us and to tempt us, because I think that was really the sickest I got on the whole trip. I was so tired, and I was so tired I was even sick, and my heart was paining me, and I think it was just, oh, it was just an attack of the enemy, because I was discouraged in heart, and I was down in body, and I was low in spirit, being so horribly, terribly sick. That night, I had to have desperate prayer, had to wake someone to pray for me, and I thank the Lord, got the victory. I was so sick, so tired, and so homesick. I think that was most of it. I was just plain homesick. And I think I was almost scared to death of what was in the future. The devil was trying to scare me out of the trip entirely and bluff me out and get me to turn around and quit before he even got started. You see, if the devil could just scare you out before you begin, then you'll never even get started and you'll never accomplish what God wants you to do. So for God's sake and the sake of others and your own sake, don't let the devil frighten you or bluff you out of what the Lord wants you to do before you even get started. That's when he attacks you the worst, and that's when the Lord allows him to attack you the worst, because the Lord is testing you to see if you really mean business and to see if you're really willing to even die trying. I found almost always that the Lord gives me or us the most severe tests at the very beginning, just as it was with some of you when you first came to camp or when you first joined the group. You had your worst tests then, the most difficult tests, because God was putting you through an examination, an entrance exam, to see if you really had what it takes and if you are really willing to die to self and die out to him. Because otherwise, what's the use of even wasting anything on you? Any time or any of his goods or the strength of his leaders on you at all if you just haven't got what it takes. So I've found that God usually gives me the most severe tests, allows the enemy to tempt and test me the worst, just as I'm considering or about to begin a new task for him or a new project. We have the most difficult times and the most difficult trials and the most severe testings, because God wants to know whether you're really going to go through with it, live or die, sink or swim, whether you really mean business, whether you're really going to trust him or not, and whether you have really got what it takes to see it through. Because usually, if you pass those first hard, severe tests, the Lord stamps your passport with his stamp and says, okay, buddy, go to it. You're free to go on into the promised land that I've offered you if you're willing to forsake all and to follow and to die, if need be, to do the job that I want you to do. After that, it's not usually near as hard as we were afraid it was going to be. As Mark Twain said, I'm an old man and had many troubles, most of which never happened. Most of the things that we feared, most of the things that we worried about, most of the problems that we thought we were going to encounter have never even happened. They just never happened. God didn't let them happen. But the Lord allowed the enemy to make us think they might happen, and to even worry about them a little bit, and to even be willing to go ahead thinking that it's possible that they might happen, to see if we were willing to go at any cost, to pay any price, to make any sacrifice, to die any death in order to obey him. So praise the Lord. The coward dies 1,000 deaths, the brave but one. And I'm afraid most of us are cowards, because most of us seem to have to die 1,000 deaths before the one real one. Many deaths that we think we're going to die, and we go through all the hell and the agony of dying them before they even happen, and worry about them and fear them, and even to the point of it making you sick, as it did me that night. of nearly killing us. Worry can kill you. Fear hath torment, his word says. And lack of faith is a terrible, frightening thing. But I thank God he brought me through that terrible test the enemy put me through that night, in which he almost killed me. I'm telling you, I nearly died. And I believe it was mostly spiritual, not even physical, due to fear that the enemy tried to place upon me. But we resisted it in Jesus' name. We resisted the oppression, the horrible pressure that came down upon us, the darkness that enveloped us, the sinking feeling, the pain in our heart, the gasping for breath. I mean, it was horrible. I've never been through anything so severe almost in my whole life. The enemy was trying to knock me out for a complete loop before we even got started. But thank God for loved ones who will stand by you in prayer and hold on and pray earnestly and desperately as they did that night. And it was wonderful. We got the victory. I survived. And I haven't been that sick since. In fact, I've hardly been sick at all. Just that one little time in London. Many times we've been very weary. Felt we could hardly drag another step. I'll never forget one night I ran with the suitcases a long distance, and I thought that we were going to get separated, and one of us on the train and one of us left behind, because I'd gone back to get the luggage. And I thought the train was about to pull out. And I had prayed that the Lord would stop the train till I got on it, but my faith wasn't apparently quite as strong as it should have been to believe that God was going to do it, but he did. And he stopped the train, and it didn't leave. And we sat there on the train after I got on, huffing and puffing and gasping for breath, thinking the train was due to pull out, and they're very punctual over here. They leave right on the button, right, and punta, right on the point, almost without fail. And I'll never forget how we sat there waiting and waiting and waiting for that train to leave. And it went on and on past the time it was supposed to leave. And I sat there and sat there, wondering why in the world the train didn't go after it was already way late. And here I'd been afraid it was going to pull out without me. And all of a sudden it came to me, well, you prayed for me to stop the train, and you haven't prayed that it would go again. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm on it, forgive me. Okay, Lord, let it go now. And right away the train started. You tell me God can't do miracles? You tell me the Lord can't do whatever you ask him to do? You better be careful what you ask the Lord to do, because he'll take you literally. I said, Lord, stop the train, stop the train. Don't let him go. I've got to catch the train. But I never had told the Lord to let it go. So then I had to tell the Lord to let the train go, and right away it started. Well, some of you may think it was just an accident, but I know it was the Lord. And God has done so many little miracles like that for us besides the big ones. So we survived that terrific test. Brought us through, and we were much better the next day. We prayed earnestly what God would have us to do, and it came to us, the tent. We wondered, what will we do, oh Lord? To go into New York City, we have to see officials, we have to see representatives, we have to get information, we have to make arrangements, we have to make plans. We have so much to do. We have a week or two of work to do in this great and expensive city where rooms are so high and almost impossible to find. And we don't want to waste your money, Lord. What shall we do? And it came to us just as clearly as anything. Well, what do you think I gave you a little tent for? And right here you are, just a few miles from a nice park where you camped before with all of my children, and where you can camp again. They camp there, why can't you? They camp there in tents and slept on the ground. Why can't you? So I said, well, amen, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go. We'll camp out at Cheesequake Park. And so we did. We went right back to the same park where we first all united together to start on our monumental year's tour last year, where we united, you remember? We went back to that very same park and we camped in a spot just a few yards away from where all of you folks camped. And I'll tell you, it made me real homesick for you. Every time I passed that little sign pointing to Booth Field, I said, oh, I wish they were all here again. I wish we were together again. Boo-hoo, sniff, sniff, and I would shed a few tears and be homesick for you all and miss you so terribly. You think you miss home or family or loved ones. I'll tell you, when you've got a family of nearly 400, you really miss them. And yeah, I'd never get enough of all you kids. We never can be with you enough. So we really miss you. If there were such thing as a sacrifice, we are sacrificing. We felt it was a real sacrifice to leave you and leave home. So we pitched our little tent, not in Canaan land. Sad to say, I fear it was Egypt's land, but the Lord can make even a little bit of Egypt to be a little bit of heaven if Jesus is there with you. Amen? And at least the spot we were parked on, we claimed for the Lord, and Jesus was there, and where Jesus is heaven. So you can carry heaven in your heart. Amen? You can have the promised land of Canaan in your heart. And so we did. We pitched our little tent, and we fixed our little pads on the ground, and we wondered how we were going to get along. Well, I'll tell you. You want to know? Well, I'll tell you. We just got along wonderfully, absolutely beautifully. We spent 2 whole weeks there, camped in that little tent, and it was just heaven on earth. It was beautiful and wonderful, because after our long, hard journey and our severe trials and testings and many nights without sleep and driving all night and the various hardships we had undergone, we were just utterly exhausted. I had said, I just got to get somewhere. After even the difficult period of the time before we left home, and the visitor that we had there, and the trials we were going through there, being somewhat on our toes, and we had not, and then the preparations for the trip, and the packing, and the having to make the break, and to pull out and leave, and all of this had been very wearing and tearing, both on our nerves and our body and our spirit, mind, heart, and every way. And this was the first chance we'd had to stop, to sit down, and to really sort of let everything catch up with us. And God gave us this 2 weeks of preparation and rest and some relaxation to prepare for the new trials to come. And so we're so thankful we were able to camp there. We would cook our meals over the open fire. Believe it or not, I got to be a pretty good camper cooking out over the open fire. And we got to rest up there, and we got to even go swimming. It was still warm enough to go swimming, which was the best, most convenient way to take a bath. And we just enjoyed it to the full, while we were also accomplishing all of the Lord's business, other business as well, in making trips into town and in studying the materials we had in preparation and making the arrangements in the city. We would go back and forth by train and so on to accomplish all of these things. So it turned out it made an ideal base for our New York operation, just as it did before. And we would stay there in camp and sleep at night, sometimes swim in the morning after cooking our meal on the open fire, and then go into town about the Lord's business. And we got to meet many young people and had some very interesting experiences there. One of the first was that a hippie couple camped right next to us. And we got to witness to them. We also got to see the film Woodstock, which we thought was very important, one of the events of the century, which one of our teams almost missed. And since we had missed it ourselves, we felt like it was worthwhile to see what this thing was that everybody's talking about. And the Woodstock Nation, as they call it. And so we did. We also spent a great deal of time studying the books about travel in Europe, trying to pick out the best routes to Israel. As you know, we finally planned to try to save the Lord's money to fly on the very cheapest airline, Icelandic, across to Luxembourg, and then to travel by train across Europe, finally arriving in Israel. As being the most reasonable, the cheapest way financially, as well as the most interesting, and the most profitable, or perhaps I should say edifying, so that we would be able to survey the needs of Europe and the youth of Europe on our way as we journey toward the Holy Land. So this is what we got out of our time as a preparation, 2 weeks of study and inquiry and discussion with those who had been there, travel agents and airlines and so on. It took a great deal of planning, a great deal of work, and the Lord worked it all out beautifully. Sometimes we drove into the city, sometimes we went by train. But it was very convenient, and we often ate sandwiches, cheese sandwiches in the car to save his money, or stopped at a McDonald's, and we got by extremely reasonably this way. The Lord was good to us, and you were good to us. God bless you that contributed toward this journey for his kingdom. Well, finally, I'm so busy telling you all about how what we went through to get started, to begin, to commence, to go, but this was a very important part of the whole thing, the preparation, getting started, because if you can get started, that's when the devil attacks the most. If you can get over that hump, then thank the Lord, you can usually make the rest of the journey. None of the other trials, it ever seems, will ever be as great as those in the beginning. Isn't that what you've usually found? Haven't you had greater strength? Haven't you had greater victory as you went along? And even though perhaps the trials in some ways might have actually later been more severe and bigger problems, bigger trials, greater testings, you were much stronger to meet them later. And they were not nearly as difficult to overcome as even those little trials in the beginning. How true that is. Praise the Lord. Well, I might just go over some of these little details day by day. It might interest you. On Friday the 4th of September, the Lord did another miracle. You remember the check that you sent us? A sizable check to help finance the journey. We found was going to take cashing it in order to make the trip. So, this was one of the first tests. We asked the Lord time and again, Lord, if you don't want us to go, block it. If you do want us to go, you're going to have to do some miracles. And it was one miracle after another, one fleece after another that the Lord honored. Time and again, the Lord did the miracle. And every time, sometimes when I even wanted him to stop us, I was so homesick and so discouraged occasionally that I wanted to go home so bad. I missed you folks so much. I actually really wanted the Lord to stop us. And I said, Lord, if you want us to go now, like cash this check. If not, Lord, don't let them cash it. And almost hoping they wouldn't, so we'd have an excuse to quit and go home. I wonder how many times you've done that, huh? You've put out a condition to the Lord or something and kind of hoping maybe he wouldn't do it so you wouldn't have to do it. And the Lord just knocked the props out from under you and jerked the rug out from under you and took away all your excuses and did all the miracles and everything so that the decision still had to be up to you and you had no excuses and no reasons for not going on with the Lord because he'd opened the door, he'd provided the way and made everything possible. And that's exactly the way the Lord did in all of these preparations. In every little thing, it was just a miracle after miracle after miracle. I'll not forget the next day on Saturday, we were going through Sears to see if there was anything we needed for the journey. And I saw some nice shoes on sale. It turned out there were about $20 shoes, but they were on sale for, I think it was a little over $5, $6 something. Apparently a style that was going out, but these have turned out to be my European shoes, my 7-league boots that I have tromped all over Europe in, so comfortable and so necessary, and I'm so thankful for them, and thanks to you who made them possible. They're really about the only thing I've got on that wasn't given to me, and these were given to me too because you gave the funds. And the Lord gave them to you, so God did it all. Amen? Finally, on the Sunday before Labor Day, we did our final repacking according to the directions in the various travel books we had read, what you need and what you don't need and so on, and having never made a trip to Europe. Then we had to weigh our bags. And we wondered, Lord, how in the world? We don't know if we've got too much weight. Are we overweight? Are we underweight? Could we add a little more? Are we going to have to take out some? What do we do, Lord? And we inquired around several places. On Monday, it was Labor Day, and there was no place where we could get our bags weighed. And it was miles and miles and miles to the nearest airport to try to weigh them. So suddenly we got the inspiration to go down to a little market, or a big market rather, that we had remembered. We had seen the sign, the Lord so faithful in little things. I had stood there reading the sign the week before as we shopped for some groceries, and I had noticed the Lord had called my attention to the fact that it said open Labor Day. And I thought, well, so what, that's not important to me. We'll probably never be back here again. Well, it turned out to be a store to weigh our bags by a miracle. So the Lord really did a miracle. And what we found out, together our bags added up to almost exactly the weight limit. I had been told by the airline it was $3 a pound. pound overweight in case we ran over. I thought, oh Lord, we can't afford any overweight. So I timidly called the airline a long distance before we were to leave and forsake all in the car and any overweight. And I asked them if it was possible to combine the baggage allowance of two together to the total allowed for that many. And they said, yes, usually they were not particular about that. So thank the Lord. These little things, the reason I'm telling you these little things is because it's so wonderful to me. You can expect it. Of course God is going to do the big things that have to be done. But the little tiny thoughtfulnesses of the Lord. A market that's open. To find a bathroom scale. To find that your bags weigh just the right weight. It's so wonderful how the Lord thinks of... There's nothing too small for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for Him. Every little thing. Why do you worry? Why do you fret? God's going to take care of every little detail. Each time I thought maybe this is it. Maybe we just can't make it because surely this is going to be the door that's going to be closed. This is going to be the impossible situation. Well, yes, Lord, you brought us this far, but now here's where we can't make it any further. It's impossible. But everything I asked God to do, the Lord did every little thing. When I asked the Lord, now, Lord, if you want us to buy these tickets, you'll get them to take our check. And that was almost unheard of. The travel agency had never seen me before. They didn't know me from Adam. They took the check without question. And when they said, well, what is your address when they cash a check? They usually want to know where you are locally. And I gulped and I thought, oh, Lord, surely if they find out we're just camping out, temporary campers in a campground here in town, they won't cash the check. And I was tempted to almost lie about it and try to avoid the answer somehow, but it came to me, well, here's another impossible. Here's a fleece. I'm gonna throw water on the sacrifice. I'm gonna pour it on the sacrifice. Because if it's gonna be done, God's gonna have to do it. So I said, oh, we're just camped out in a little tent over here in the park. It just rolled like water off a duck's back. They just took it without question. Just like we were registered at the Waldorf Astoria. And it was amazing how the Lord did so many little miracles like that. This was now the day before the great event, the day of our departure. For 2 weeks, we had been in that little tent in the park, and we had prayed, Lord, Lord, please keep the weather good. Keep it nice and warm and sunny like you've had it. Until we have to go. Well, I guess we must have forgotten to tell the Lord to keep it that way till after we leave, because He kept it that way to the very day we had to go, and it rained. And the tent got all wet, but this time we didn't get wet, thank the Lord. And He brought the sun out bright and shining the next morning, so that the tent got all nice and dried out so we could pack it up and roll it up and tuck it in the trunk of the car. Forgot to tell you, the day before, we had gone into town where we picked up the mail. And once again, we asked God for the miracle that they would take our check again for tickets. And again, they took our check for tickets. They didn't know us from Adam. In fact, I'm sure they didn't know us as well as they knew Adam. But God did a miracle. We also walked in to the little office, the youth office, where you get youth ID cards so that we could get special rates in some places. And they took our identification, those little ID cards you made up, student ID card, they took it without question. And the Lord did that miracle. And everything God did. It was just so wonderful. So that night, I'll never forget, we were so desperate because we wanted to get in touch with you because we knew we were going to have to leave the next day. And we finally got through to Dallas. So we were thankful for that. Came the dawn of the 10th of September 1970 on Thursday morning, the day of our epical departure for Europe. And we broke camp, we rolled up our tent for the last time, tucked it in the trunk of the car, and drove to New York. Picked up the mail, and due to someone's faith, there was mail there that last day. Those things that you sent us, letters and packages and the reprints and all the various things that we needed. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Ordinarily, they told us that it took from 2 weeks maybe to a month to get your passport. And the lady in Washington at the passport office looked kind of shocked when we gave general delivery for our address to send anything so valuable as a passport. General delivery in New York, she said, don't you have any other address than that? We said, no. We were going there. That's where we're leaving from, and we had to get our passports there. She said, well, all right. And I said, besides that, we're leaving very soon, and we need them right away. Well, they said it usually takes, you know, a couple weeks to a month. Guess what? When we got to New York, exactly 1 week later, our passports were waiting for us at the post office, believe it or not. Now that is almost unheard of, to get your passports within 1 week's time. But they were both there and waiting for us, and the Lord had done another miracle. So that encourages us to go ahead with all of our other plans. Because if our passports hadn't arrived, we might have gotten discouraged. Well, what's the use of trying these other things? But God didn't give us a single excuse. He just knocked away the excuses and knocked down the doors and made it impossible for us to refuse to go. Praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, yes, I was just reminded that when we went into the post office to pick up our mail at General Delivery Window for the first time, guess who was there? Your old friend from the post office at the World's Fair in New York. And he was just thrilled to see us, wanted to know where you kids were, what you were doing now, and remembered your names, remembered about your exhibit at the Protestant Center, remembered all those things. It's amazing what effect your witness has upon some of the people you sometimes think would might be the least likely to be impressed or to remember you. The postman from the post office at the little post office at the World's Fair in New York remembered us and your names and wanted to know all about you and how you were doing. And he was just absolutely thrilled that he was seeing some of us again. So, praise the Lord. I think we got his name and address so that we'll be able to perhaps write him again. Thank you so much for those things that we requested that you sent us. We got just in time the album that you sent and all the pictures. Those pictures have been such a blessing. We have used them time and time again and have pulled them out and showed them to scores and scores of people all over Europe, and the Lord has really used them. That was so thoughtful of you. Thank you so much for that little watch that you sent. And the other thoughtful things, the reprints have been such a blessing. We've been passing them out everywhere we go to everyone who was interested, and the Lord was certainly in that mail arriving the very day we left, and we got there just in time to pick it up. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus never fails. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Then came another miracle. We had debated and debated about getting what are known as Eurail passes, a new bargain which Europe is offering travelers from other parts of the world. You can't buy them in Europe. You have to buy them outside of Europe to encourage tourism and travel in Europe on the trains. a very cheap pass which entitles you to travel anywhere in Western Europe, except Britain, as far as you want, as long as you want, in a certain specified period of time. And to go anywhere on the first class train, the best trains, including the reservations without charge, which we found out later you have to usually pay for. The tickets were such a bargain because as extensively as we planned to travel in Europe on our way to Israel to do this missionary surveying for our invasion of Europe by you young folks in the various capitals of Europe, we planned to travel so extensively that we knew it was going to cost a good deal more than the cost of your rail pass. If you travel a great deal, it's really worth it. It's a real bargain financially. Yeah, a great saving of the Lord's money. But we didn't realize what a convenience they were going to be, because you're treated almost like royalty over here on the trains if you produce a your rail pass. Not only that, you don't have to stand in long queues, as they call them here, or lines, waiting to buy tickets. You don't have to change your money, and that's one of the biggest problems in Europe, changing money from one country to another, one coinage to another. It is a headache, but thank God we've survived. But you don't have to buy tickets, therefore you don't have to change your money. And to get reservations, you don't have to pay. They give you special preference when you're on the train. They just almost ignore you as far as immigration or customs and so on are concerned. They're trying to be extra good and extra hospitable to tourists and to give you as little inconvenience as possible. Sometimes they haven't even asked us for our passports. Sometimes we just produce them and they only looked at the covers. They just looked at the outside and saw that we had passports. Didn't even look inside to make sure they were ours. We have yet to be asked to open our luggage, believe it or not. They haven't even asked to even look at our luggage. And most borders we've crossed, they haven't even seen if we had any, or how much, and certainly not what we had inside. Well, we had nothing to hide, nothing to declare, and so we wouldn't have been afraid to open it anyhow. But it would have been a delay and an inconvenience. And I'm telling you, the way some of our bags were packed, I said that if they ever open that suitcase, I'm going to make them pack it again, because I had a terrible time even getting it shut. So I was thankful they didn't ask me to even open it. At our first customs, as we landed in Luxembourg, was really about the only one where they even looked at the suitcases, and then they only looked at the outside, and they didn't even ask us to open them. So the Lord has been good to us in that respect as well. Well, I was going to tell you about how we landed in New York late that day, as usual, got the mail, and it was going on 5 o'clock. I think we had about 10 minutes to make it after debating for 2 weeks as to whether to buy these Eurail passes or not. At the last minute, we prayed desperately, and we felt definitely led to get them. So we rushed in the car to the Rockefeller Center, where the office of the French National Railroad was located, where we could buy them in Rockefeller Plaza. And we dashed in and parked the car. It was a miracle, almost before the rush hour there, that we even found a place to park. And we dashed and parked the car, rushed to the office just as they were closing the door. In fact, they'd already locked one door, and we had to rush around the other one and barge our way in, just as one girl was ready to come to the door and lock it.